This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Today we are talking to Sean Murphy, the Executive Director and Global Chief Executive of the Singapore-listed enterprise data center firm Procuri. Now, Sean, welcome to the show. If you can, tell us and give us a bit of an update on the industry overview, which we understand to be quite fragmented and quite competitive in terms of landscape.
Right. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. Yeah, Procuri operates in the enterprise data center space. We're helping corporations around the world that are looking to expand their global presence with their own computing platform or the cloud. And customers need global reach, but they want a local touch. And they want fast and flexible partners like Procuri. And then we have to have an eye on the cost. And so we have a very good cost benefit value proposition for our clients.
Boy, what you say about being local, being important is absolutely spot on, Sean, as well as being price sensitive because of the number of players out there. How are you going to do the local touch, though? Because as you understand it, you've got a very international profile about you, a very international, aspirational profile.
Right, so that's what we've been building for the last 3.5 years. We have an office in America, where I live. We have our global headquarters in Singapore to deal with Southeast Asia. We have offices in Europe, in China, in Mexico. And the idea is we want customers to be able to call us where they live and talk to somebody with a local touch. But most of the projects are based on customers going global. So customers in Asia are looking for projects in New York. Customers in New York are looking for projects in China. And so we're trying to build a global platform so that we can talk to the customers where they live, but do the work where the project is.
That sounds to be quite a huge proposition because for a client corporation to work with Procuri entails a huge amount of trust because of the sheer confidentiality of the information as well as the security aspects in terms of breaches and hacks and, you know, DDoS attacks and so on and so forth. When you talk to clients, Sean, what is the proposition in terms of addressing not just those security issues but also the local issues?
Right. So when we formed Procuri, we had the same concept that you just mentioned. We have to be the most respected, the highest integrity. So we mapped out Procuri's growth plans with an IPO in mind to raise the capital to build this global platform. And so we've been executing along that plan. We recently completed successfully an IPO here in Singapore. And so we're the first player in our marketplace to be publicly traded. And we think that adds a level of transparency to let our clients know that we're going to aspire to be world class in everything that we do, from security, from best practices, from data destruction and making sure that all the assets are properly sanitized, the data is quarantined or destroyed. So all these things are what we wake up every day thinking about as we build out this global platform using the funds we've just raised from the market. We've got to be absolutely an expert. We've got to have integrity that's unsurpassed. And then we've got to be good stewards with the funds we've just raised because, as you rightly stated, we're going to need a lot of funds to build out a global platform. But if we build it, we'll be the first true independent global player in a very, very fragmented market.
Part of the issue here is the future tense of all that you mentioned. We will be, we plan to, we aspire to, one day we will become security, etc., etc. What matters not is the future. What matters is the present. And these are very current and operational issues for corporate clients.
So let me tell you where we are today. We have 251 of the most amazingly talented people you've ever seen. We have about a third located in the United States, about a third in Europe, and about a third in Asia. And these are highly trained, certified engineers, technicians that are currently working with some of the largest companies in the world, helping them with absolutely mission-critical projects.
Who are some of the clients, Sean? Can you tell us?
Because we're a platform, a lot of times the clients are brought to us by other people. So I'm not going to list exact clients, but I'll give you categories. We deal with the world's largest manufacturers of computer products because they have projects that are too global and too complex for them. We help the world's largest resellers of technology, and then all the cloud companies that you would know. But an example of these resellers would be the large consulting firms, the Accentures, Wipros, Tatas of the world. Those are the people that are working on very complex global projects, and they need help, and we're trying to build a firm that can address their needs globally.
Well, as you say, you do help resell some of the best hardware and some of the best cloud solutions in the industry. But what you do have in this very fragmented market are very local players with local relationships and local trust relations, or local trust surpluses. For example, in Malaysia, one of the biggest players is this company called AIMS, who control, I think, all the domestic local telcos, as well as more than 75% of foreign telcos. How are you going to break that stranglehold in a market which is obviously dependent on trust and relationships?
So we built Procuri today to be able to address the disruption that's going on in the world. Because for the last 40 years, customers like AIMS and others would buy technology from IBM, Cisco, and they would install it, run it for 3 to 5 years, then they would replace it with something new. But today, customers are looking to shrink. They're looking to diversify. They're looking to move to the cloud. And all that change means they need a reverse logistics partner. And that's what the OEMs, the manufacturers, are not good at. The manufacturers are good at planning and building and then installing. But if the customer needs to do anything else, then they need a partner like Procuri. So a lot of customers are shrinking the number of data centers. They're going to bigger data centers, but fewer of them. All that change is where Procuri comes in. We have the products, we have the engineers to do the project from start to finish, and then if there's any excess equipment, we take it away and we help find a new buyer for it to help give the customer some value back for those excess assets.
How is business, Sean?
Our business is great. We are 3.5 years old. We finished 2015 at over 122 million Sing top line revenue, very profitable. And we're actually going to announce our earnings this evening, but we're off to a great start. The company's growing organically. Profits are up. So we feel very, very confident. It's mainly because our industry is growing so fast. Everything we're doing is growing, from the products, the services. We've got a lot of tailwinds.
Well, throw some perspective on it for us, because I read that half your business is coming from the Americas and about 34% from EMEA, of course, Europe and the Middle East. Only about a fifth of your business is Asia Pacific derived. And that's kind of like a reverse pyramid of where the real growth markets are. America, as we read in the headlines, and Europe and the Middle East are in the doldrums. So you're telling us a story which is quite contrary to what we read in the news. How does this work out?
Well, so I think the story you read in the news is all the historical, kind of the establishment of technology is really struggling. But any players that are involved in the disruption, like Procuri, or that can help benefit from the disruption are benefiting. So that's why we're growing, even though you read about the doldrums, because we are part of the disruption. Now, you mentioned where our business is today, but I tell you, we have an Asia-first strategy, because the next 10 years in IT is going to be all about Asia. So we did build a big beachhead in America. We have a strong operation in Europe to help us with the global platform. But all of our really exciting opportunities are Asia. So we have an Asia-first strategy. That's why our headquarters is in Singapore. We want to help Western companies come to Asia, and we want to help Asian companies go to back to the U.S. and Europe with any kind of global projects they may have.
Sean, that global aspiration with an Asia first strategy sounds a bit disingenuous to us, because you can't be a master of every geography. It's too expensive and it's too costly. As Uber has discovered in China, you cannot, even though you have a $65 billion valuation, you cannot be a master of every single market. What makes you think that you can do it?
To answer your question, so we're not trying to be everything to everybody. We are building a platform. So when you asked me about our clients earlier, some of our clients are brought to us by the manufacturers, because we're trying to be a boutique firm. We are trying to have a global platform where our talents and services in a boutique style can...
Sorry, hang on, Sean. Sorry. So that phrase is already a bit strange, because you're trying to be a boutique firm with a global footprint and an Asia-first strategy. So all those terms are all diametrically opposing.
Well, so in the last 40 years, you take a company like Coca-Cola. They've grown around the world from an IT perspective. The challenges they now have are, how do they expand in Southeast Asia? So what IT partners do they use? So we are trying to help global organizations like that by being on the ground in Southeast Asia. So I think you're maybe thinking the scale of the type of employees and things we have to have is just huge. It really doesn't have to be. We have to have the skill sets for example, in Singapore, we can serve all of Southeast Asia from our Singapore hub. We have an office in Malaysia too, but we don't have to have people everywhere. We just have to be able to take our unique talent set and be able to move it where the projects are. So today we have 250 people. Down the road, we may have multiples of that, but I don't see, we're not going to have tens of thousands. That's not the idea. The idea is to build a platform where, you know, if you call Procuri, you know what you're going to get. But we're going to stay relatively small compared to players, obviously, like IBM or anybody else that might come to mind.
We are talking this morning to Sean Murphy, the Executive Director and Global Chief Executive of the Singapore-listed enterprise data center firm Procuri. We're going to take a break now, Sean. We're going to come back and talk to you about your Asia-first strategy as well as your margins inherent there. We have with us on the Breakfast Grill this morning, Sean Murphy, the ED and Global CEO of the Singapore-listed enterprise data center firm Procuri. Now, as we mentioned earlier, Sean, the Asia-Pacific business is not even a fifth of your overall revenues. It throws off the highest margins among the three areas of the North Americas and the Europeans and Middle East and Africas. Shed some light on your Asia-first strategy and how you're going to go about doing it and ensuring that your margins stay as comfortable as they are.
In Asia, we started with the services organization, which is really the sweet spot when you talk about margins, because that's where our customers really value us the most. They're willing to pay the prices that allow us to earn a really nice return for our shareholders. So in Asia, the reason why our profits are so high in Asia is because we have a services business that's already well established, and we are growing our products business because they feed on each other. Whereas in our other geographies, we have a big products business and our services businesses are small. So part of my next couple of years is going to be to do M&A to add services in the U.S. and add services in Europe. That was part of the stated use of proceeds from the IPO, because we've got to have complete strategy. We've got to have products and services in all three geographies.
What will form a ideal acquisition target for you, and what kind of deal size would be interesting?
The ideal targets for us right now are North American IT maintenance companies. You may not be aware, but on these large enterprise systems, once you install them, you need an enterprise maintenance contract in case anything breaks or there's any kind of faults. A repair person comes and repairs it on site. That's the business that's like order book for us. It has higher gross margins, and it's really strong recurring revenues. So that's the businesses we're looking for. But these are small businesses because our marketplace is so fragmented. So they're going to be small, relatively small acquisitions. But we're the first in our marketplace to be public and have the capital to look at doing this small roll-up, if you will, of these players to try to get above the 1% market share that we have today.
Okay, so explain this for us. You have told us you've got an Asia-first strategy, but your growth will be inorganic by and large, and you're looking at the North Americas from IT maintenance services contracts. So this, again, seems a bit diametrically opposing, because you told us you've got an Asia strategy, but you are buying stuff in America.
So that's let me clear that up. So we need to do acquisitions to be strategy complete. So to be strategy complete, this is what we have to have. We have to have IT hardware distribution, we have to have maintenance, and we have to have IT disposal services. And then we need those in all three geographies. So today we already have all those pieces in Asia, even though they're small. So in Asia, we're going to just grow really fast organically, but we're going to be opportunistic. If we see a great opportunity to do an acquisition in Asia, we will do that. But we already have all the pieces in Asia. So we're going to mainly focus on growing it really rapidly, but organic growth. In the U.S. and in Europe, we don't have all the pieces. So for the next 2 years, we're going to do M&A to finish the strategy. But then once we have all the pieces, we're going to grow this thing organically, because that's how we get the best results for our shareholders.
We have with us on the grill this morning, Sean Murphy, the Executive Director and Global CEO of the Singapore-listed enterprise data center firm Procuri. Now, you have chosen to list in Singapore on the SGX, Sean, as you rightly clarified earlier. But the model itself seems to be quite a difficult one to digest, especially since you are working in such a fragmented and highly technical industry. How has the public markets taken to your listing in terms of volume as well as in terms of analyst coverage?
So we've had a lot of favorable analyst coverage, and the volume has been good. But I think you're right. It is hard to understand. So part of what I'm working on is try to help to investors understand more clearly about what we're building here and the power of our platform model. This is a very large worldwide addressable market, $20 or $30 billion, and we're trying to build the number one player. Today we're among a handful of the leading players, but we want to emerge as number one. And so I've got to work on doing a better job of clearly communicating exactly what we do. So just to sum it up, we sell enterprise products like IBM, Dell, Cisco products. We help install them. We help move them around. And then more importantly, when customers are ready to dispose of them, we take them away, make sure the information is all secure, make sure it's eradicated in whatever way they want. And then if the assets have value, we try to help reclaim some of that value for our customers.
Okay, so when I see your client list, they include apparently OEM players, hardware brokers, cloud companies, IT companies, who also, depending on their requirements, could also be your suppliers. Now, again, I mean, when you look at a pure play data center player, like say in Ames, for example, they would specifically target people like the telcos and the carriers and try and offer a carrier neutral situation to them. So that kind of makes their business a little bit more easy to understand. You know, so when you try and communicate this proposition to the analysts or to the fund managers or the buy side or to the journalist, you know, how much of a hard time do you have in, especially when you talk to an Asian clientele where English might not be their first language?
I'm working very hard on that. So when I talk to analysts, I try to explain to them that the historical world that IBM and HP built over the last 40 or 50 years is being completely disrupted by the cloud. And that cloud means that customers no longer buy the way they used to. So the change in the buying patterns means this worldwide market of $300 billion is disrupted, and that means some of those dollars are going to go into places now that they haven't gone before. And that's our marketplace. Our marketplace is about $20 billion today. It's expected to grow to $30 billion in the next 5 years. And the world needs a leader in this $30 billion marketplace, and that's what we're trying to be. It is hard to explain because customers are not aware of the massive disruption that the cloud has caused.
Are you getting the best machines and the best solutions in your parts of the network or the value chain? Because, you know, antiquated legacy ecosystems are very hard to break down. A lot of bad habits and antiquated habits, Sean. Are you getting the best of breed in terms of technology, hardware, services, solutions, software, even licensing terms in your part of the value chain?
So we're trying to build the skill set, the engineering skill set, so that we can work even with the manufacturers. Because a lot of people aren't aware that the manufacturers, I mean, I think it's in the headlines, these manufacturers are struggling to deal with all this change too. And so they need our skill sets too, because they now have assets sitting in parts of the world that they don't need them anymore either. So we are helping the manufacturers deal with the disruption by becoming their reverse logistics partner. You take a large manufacturer like IBM or HP, they may have assets sitting somewhere in the world that the clients don't want them now. They either didn't come through with enough orders, so they have supply chain issues. So we're trying to build a firm to help the OEMs, to try to help all these resellers, and then finally to try to help the cloud companies. But in your example earlier about these data center customers, in our marketplace, it's kind of co-opetition. We sometimes compete with our customers, but there's a kind of a general understanding that sometimes we compete and sometimes we are the best of clients. It's kind of co-opetition, and it's been part of our marketplace since the earliest days of this industry.
Yeah, so it seems if you got competition in every single part of the value chain. I mean, in IT distribution, you might go up against a Curvature, for example, or an Atlantic Global. And in lifecycle services, you might be up against Park Place or Systems Maintenance Services. With 200 plus people, Sean, it must be a huge challenge.
So let me explain to you why I'm excited because of that challenge. So all the people that you just mentioned, they do one third of what we do. We're the first player that's trying to incorporate that all under one roof, because customers don't want to make three phone calls anymore. They want one vendor to do it, and they want one vendor to do it in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. And we're the only one on that list that's trying to do that. And that's what makes us different, and that's why I think we're having such incredible results, is because we're the first one to understand that these three business lines actually help each other. And then the clients today, they want to text over an order, and they want something to show up in New York, Paris, and Beijing. And they want one vendor to provide the hardware and the services, and that's what Procuria can do today. And quite frankly, most of the people on your list They can help in one-third or one-ninth of that project, but that's not what the customers want now.
Would they be one-day acquisition targets for you once you're done with North America?
Well, right now I'm acquiring most of them one customer at a time, but you never know. Right now we're trying to build a world-class organization. I just need to do these smaller acquisitions now. Some of the players you mentioned are quite large, but you never know.
All right, Sean. Well, thank you for the business plan explanation, and thank you for your overview of the industry. It was a great pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
We were talking to Sean Murphy, the Executive Director and Global Chief Executive of the Singapore-listed enterprise data center firm Procuri, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.